Hey everybody, welcome to another first run Bald Movie. This week, Cecily and I returned to the theaters, back to back, repeat, to see Incredibles 2.
We held hands in the back row.
Probably should have seen Hereditary for the second week in a row.
Probably should have.
But see, I had bought us three tickets, and I planned on doing a joint review with me, you, and Mind Dragon.
Okay.
And I thought that'd be a lot of fun because when Jack was growing up, like as a baby, Incredibles came out and he was like really into it. He loved that movie. We had like, I don't know, like a 4-year-old, a toddler version of the Incredibles book. It was like 45 pages long. It was just a bare essential, like barest plot essential, but he read that book every night, sometimes several times in a row. For what felt like 2 years.
That's adorable.
So
that's my same experience growing up with Monster House and my brother.
Right. Yeah, I remember you
saying that. He watched
that
movie on repeat over and over until just like...
Every kid's kind of got that special
it's
movie.
It's kind of like it's the opposite of comedy torture. You know, it's family entertainment torture.
Right.
Like it just gets so burned into you that you hate it. You hate it so much. And then it comes back around to being amazing.
So unfortunately, the schedule with his mom didn't quite work out. So it's just going to be me and Cecily. But you know what? I was still excited to see this movie because I thought that the first Incredibles was amazing. It's like a near perfect film. It still holds up. It's still very entertaining. It says a lot of important things about, you know, family and like the pitfalls of masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really looking forward to see how they'd move the ball forward. And I thought that I was whelmed. I was whelmed by this movie.
Yeah.
Did you like The Incredibles? Yes. Okay. Here is more of The Incredibles.
Yeah, it was a cute movie.
It's very cute.
It's got some strong female leads, both young and old.
Yep.
I really liked that Edna character.
Mm-hmm.
She was a lot of fun. Should we just say up front what we're doing?
Yeah, we're going to give our non-spoiler review of the movie first, and then we'll talk about trailers, and we'll talk about spoilers, except for this week, we are going to give away the spoiler thing for free.
For Father's Day gift
it's a Father's
to all
Day
the
gift
families out
to
there?
To all the families out there. That's
oh
that's
goodness.
A good backwards way to think about this.
No, it's the forwards way,
I was just being lazy and not wanting to edit like three different
God
versions
damn it.
Of the podcast.
Edit that out. Edit out you being an asshole.
But yeah, everyone gets a free Incredibles review. Huzzah!
You should probably edit out the asshole word, though.
The asshole? Why?
Because what if someone's going to listen to this with their kids?
They wouldn't.
Okay.
They wouldn't. So yeah, that's our general review. Like, it's... The movie's funny.
It's a good
charming.
Movie. It's very cute. You know, they had this upfront bumper that had Holly Hunter and Samuel L. Jackson and Alan Alda. I don't know what that guy's name is. Mm-hmm. Close enough.
Yeah.
The voices that did the main characters, just sort of trying to hype you into the movie before you go into the movie. Like you feel like. Or I feel like that kind of thing belongs in other movies where you want to go see The Incredibles 2, but you put that right before The Incredibles 2 movie. It's like, I get it. I'm already here. You can't sell me on it anymore.
Yeah. I guess it's to soften you up for the overall...
Like, the worst you can do is talk me into leaving before the movie actually starts with that.
Craig T. Nelson just comes on
Craig
and just,
T. Nelson,
said,
thank you.
Just says a whole bunch of terribly bigoted slurs just right to the camera.
It's directly to Samuel L. Jackson, and they get in a fist fight right before The Incredibles 2.
Mr. Incredible,
kids,
no!
No, kid,
Mr. Incredible.
Yeah, I saw kids crying, and like one of them wet their pants. It was terrifying.
Yeah, it was bad.
So just keep that in mind if you're going to see it. Show up like 10, 15 minutes late.
Sure.
You don't want to see that.
Right, just like the bald, just like the bald movie reviews. You want to let all those assholes... get on by.
Just roll off your back, yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk about trailers before we talk more about this movie.
Okay, first one up, and I don't think that you saw even a little bit of this, but there is a new Grinch movie.
Really?
I'm kind of excited
Does
about it.
Does it look good?
It looks good, but there's one thing I'm going to tell you
Give me the elevator
end.
Pitch.
It's just a classic Grinch story in like a 90-minute format in 3D animation. So you got the classic version, okay, which is great. You got the Jim Carrey version,
it's
which
2D
is
3D animation, and then that's real action. Yeah,
which is great in its own way. And now you're going to get a 3D animated one, and it looks cute. The Grinch looks great. His dog looks great. There's a lot of solid Grinch humor.
Yeah,
that they've elaborated. Here's the problem: the studio making it is Illumination.
Oh, no.
Now, I used to like Illumination before
I can't the hear you saying the word unless I hear it in, like, a Minion's voice. Like, it filters yeah, through my head.
Illumination!
Yeah, 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 I, like, there's this echo in the back of my brain.
My molders just exploded. Yeah.
Your molders?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Despicable Me. Like, I thought that was a really cool movie.
Yeah.
I even kind of like Despicable Me, too, but somewhere between 3 and Minions, it just like Illumination seems like they're just the lowest common denominator bullshit.
I honestly, in this, without an ounce of irony, cannot understand what it is with these fucking Minions.
I don't get it either.
They're
memes for moms.
Why?
And dads, I guess.
Why?
I don't know. They're not funny.
They're not funny.
Like having
just
one
just because they say things
having
nonsensically
one,
and loud.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't get
I'm
it.
With you. I'm with you. It's every once in a while pop culture throws something at me.
I bet
that
someone
I don't
has
get.
Written a very serious study.
I don't.
On Minions,
I don't get that Tindy
and
shit.
And I want to read it.
I don't get the Tindy shit.
Yeah, I hear ya.
I don't get the deep fried memes.
Surreal memes.
Surreal yeah. memes. That shit's past. Like I don't know. I can't see that wave length of humor.
Yeah, but I don't understand trebuchet memes or prequel
yeah.
memes. But I'm still here for it.
Here's the thing: is like prequel memes. Like I don't get
I'm
that
all
either.
About
but
it.
Every once in a while, they'll get me laughing.
Yeah.
Because it's just so fucking meta, man. Like yeah. that Obi-Wan and the High Ground stuff. Some of that stuff really gets me. So yeah, if it can not, if Illumination can just, you know, crank out a quality product, we'll find out in November. It's going to be, I mean, we're going to go see this. Come on.
Nah, I don't know. We'll
it's
see.
A Christmas movie and Christmas time.
I don't know. I'll be damned if I get Hereditary'd again.
Okay. How to drain your dragon.
The new Drake video. Is that what you said?
Yeah. No,
I haven't seen it, but we can review it later.
How to Train Your Dragon 3.
I haven't seen a single How to Train Your Dragon movie, and
really?
This looks adorable.
The first one's really good. I haven't yeah. seen the second one. But yeah, like, the premise of this one is Toothless falls in love.
Oh. He's a really cute little mating dance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this stuff is pretty charming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought the first How to Train Your Dragon was a perfectly great film. I don't know why I'm not excited about it. It's, I guess there's so many of these damn animated kids films that, like, I gotta start only seeing the tippy top best, like the real pedigree, the Disney's, the Pixar's, yeah. the, you know,
the Wreck-It Ralph like, 2's.
I'm excited about that, but like, I don't know, somewhere I guess DreamWorks and Illumination just kind of. Plus the Lego movie, like that animation Ooh. Studio's killing it. Like, yeah. I just feel like that's Warner, I think, Brothers Animation. I don't know. Like,
what's
these
your
studios,
problem?
These two bottom tier studios just don't interest me, even though I know the property's good.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I don't have time. It's like, yeah, you might be a perfectly competent movie, but, you know.
Isn't How to Train Your Dragon Disney Pixar?
No, it's DreamWorks.
Oh, right.
Or
right.
What'd be hilarious is...
They made Shrek, so...
What would be... But I'm saying, like, every one of them have had their moments of glory, but they're not as consistent as Disney Pixar.
Mm.
Like, these DreamWorks and...
I don't know if you made that point.
Well, maybe not. And then what would be really funny is if I've got all these studios wrong.
Yeah.
And someone's going to be like, Jesus Christ, your 5-minute fucking rant.
All right, cut it now and keep going.
All right. Apologies for that one. Speaking of Lego Movie, Lego Movie 2, the next one. I mean, yeah.
The second part is what it said.
The second part?
Yeah. Which I think might be a play on, like, pieces
right,
you put together.
Course,
the second part.
Of course.
Or maybe, like, the second bag you open.
Yeah.
Which is fun, but this looks interesting. You know, I feel like I'm too inside knowing what's going on in Hollywood to really, like, enjoy these things because I know that Rob Schraub got fired off of this picture.
Yeah, Rob Schraub.
And that breaks my heart.
Frequent collaborator with Dan Harmon, just all out insane guy. When we found out that he got flipped the keys to the Lego movie, we're like, wow.
Yeah.
That is going to be something else. And then, I don't know, he got fired from it. Seemed like he went through a depressive episode over
it. Rob Schraub and Dan Harmon, who wrote Monster House, which, again, like I said, has been imprinted deeply in my brain, whether I like it or not. But, yeah, they're good kids movie writers, surprisingly, for men who don't have children.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're man babies, so they just have to tap into that.
Yeah, I liked the Batman movie, and I don't know how many mutual collaborators there were with of the main primary Lego movies.
So that's my problem. My problem is this is going to be a very safe film. And I thought Batman, as much as I enjoyed it, was also kind of a safe film. And Lego Movie was a surprise. And it was very charming when it came out. But they can't just keep going off the wit and charm of just, hey, these are Legos moving around and it's kind of cool.
Well, this looks really cute. Okay, my perceived plot here for this movie is that the little sister is growing up.
Yeah,
and she's getting into a little bit more advanced Legos, but they're still like Duplos or maybe Mega Bloks.
Like Barbie's got a line of Legos now, right?
No, the
Lego Friends?
Yeah, the Lego Friends.
Their minifigures?
And Disney, like princesses, have their own sort of mix into the Lego Friends.
Yeah.
A sort of girlier version of Legos. So I'm seeing that kind of angle being worked, and I think it's really cute.
I'm excited, but I don't know. I would have been hyperventilating if Rob Schraub is still attached to this.
Yeah,
now I'm just kind of like, we'll see. We'll see.
We're definitely going to see this movie.
For sure. Christopher Robin, starring Ewan McGregor. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
I like it. In the fact that
it looks like 40 minutes into this will turn into the scariest horror movie of all time. those fucking animals are not from a friendly movie where good
really
things
cute,
happen.
And I think the animals look appropriately dated for when the book started coming out. I think it's cute that Ewan McGregor is like a grown-up Christopher Robin. This is about his kids. Mm-hmm. But like that story is entirely self-contained within a 3-minute trailer.
Like, and another trailer that tells you everything about
adorable.
The fucking movie.
Act 1, 2, and 3. It, and that's all I need of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Ewan McGregor's really giving up the high ground on this film.
Wow.
He's really, really, really leaving himself open to be cut down at the knees.
Wow.
Wreck-It Ralph 2. Ralph breaks the internet. Which, I love that they put a meta criticism about that where Ralph is like, shouldn't it be wrecks the internet? No, like it should be, right? Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph wrecks the internet.
Wreck-It Ralph, yeah.
I mean,
but
I get
wreck
it.
Has to come before
I get it's
Ralph.
The Kim Kardashian bullshit, but like, why are you trying to reference Kim Kardashian's ass in the title of a kids movie?
Kim Kardashian didn't originate that.
I thought she broke her ass is what broke the internet.
Yeah, that's the first time you heard about it, but that's the thing that people said before that.
That's
but
true.
I guess that'd be the first time that officially maybe broke the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't. The internet was fine.
Yeah, the internet was fine. It looks cute. I like the Disney princesses being wrapped up now, and you could see that they were just like, this trailer was made to put on display all the properties they have to tease you with. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got this many companies to sign on, and they're all going to have interesting cameos at some point. Because they had a lot of, like, fun nods to video games, if not outright characters represented in the first Wreck-It Ralph.
Right.
Which is adorable.
See, I got mixed feelings about it because, on the one hand, I love the mouse. The mouse makes a lot of solid films that I love. They have a lot of characters and franchises that are beloved. They tend to manage their properties well, and when they stumble, they make quick corrections. On the other hand, I hate the mouse because every once in a while, you just see laid bare what a fucking meat-grinding business it is. And when she puts in, take me to the most awesomest place on the fucking internet, and it's goddamn Disney World.
Yeah.
And then they go through all this stuff and like all these commercials for Disney. Which was, I thought, part of the charm of the original Wreck-It Ralph is that, well, it The stars were original IP, and like the commercials for the other shit was in the background. This is like super foreground, and then it pays off to like a very super progressive, ultra feminist takedown of the Disney princesses. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, God damn it, you fucking corporate weirdos! Like, you just made me watch a 60-second commercial so I can get 30 seconds of social justice, you assholes.
But okay, before you step all the way up onto the soapbox, I think you should just step back and understand that the movie you already know as the world's foremost King Candy impressionist. That movie was very That movie is very much tongue in cheek, and I think that you should give it the benefit of the doubt, and that it will probably be skewering those things that you think it's celebrating in the trailer.
So speaking of Disney, tongue in cheek, I like to keep a butterscotch between mine.
But yeah, I think you're being a little too harsh right now.
Okay.
Is that all the trailers?
I'm just saying. So that's all the trailers, but there's one other thing to talk about. Oh, no. There is one other thing I want to talk about. Can we talk about the Cinemark XD bullshit?
Oh, my God.
Like, this unicorn...
I finally went back to a movie with you, and we were seeing Avengers, maybe.
Yeah.
And I saw that they were, like, amping up the Cinemark chief moviologist guy, and I was like, oh, my God, this again. Can they change it at least? Mm-hmm. And I saw that they actually did change it, and I was like, oh, my God, they changed it. Like, finally, they realized, they got the feedback. They're like, this sucks. They're going to make it shorter, and they're going to make it real brief, and they're going to make fun of themselves. But they made it longer and louder and more colorful. And
now there's like three or four different versions of the
does
terrible
the movie
pain.
I'm watching do this to
no,
me.
No, no.
You are doing this to piss me off.
It's obnoxious and it hurts my ears. And I don't know. Like, I love this theater and I love the XD system, but fuck, please stop. Please stop rupturing my eardrums.
I get it. It's a good theater. But you know what? You're telling me it's a good theater is going to make me stop going into it because I fucking hate watching that shit.
The experience doesn't feel like being shot at by color cannons. It feels like being subjected to a war crime. Stop.
I'm in
your fucking XD theater. Don't make me flee the premises, right?
Yeah, I'm Alex in Clockwork Orange, and my eyes are being, like, forced open.
Yes.
And I'm being tortured with this.
Yes, it's like that, only your ear
every
canals.
Time I hear, like, some kind of stereo system starting up, I get triggered, and that just destroy the entire room. I flip every table in a 20-mile radius.
Okay.
To steal someone else's joke.
Not a trailer, but the accustomed Pixar mini-movie. The featurette.
Boasum?
Was it? I thought it was Bow. Or...
Maybe it was. I didn't write it down.
I didn't either. Well, I did, but I just...
It's a super cute movie about maybe a Korean or Chinese woman who's makes dumplings until one of them comes to life, and she raises it into her own little grown dumpling. And it's super cute, as those miniature movies are.
It's about
what did you think?
It's about how hard it is as a parent to let go, and I don't know. There's a lot to talk about there, and this like a little like you know, and not all of it's good. Like, I thought the way the mother was acting and you know metaphorically eating her child and all that. Like, I thought that was like pretty wild. Like. Pretty wild control you have over your adult children, but I know that is a thing that happens. Mm-hmm. And some people might actually kind of romanticize that particular relationship, and I thought it was weird that the mother and the son bonded over the food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it felt like something real rather than aspirational, which is what you're used to seeing. Like, these were problematic things, but they're not asking you to understand. Because at the end of the day, I found I got little tears coming to my eyes just because it was a really beautiful portrait of a relationship. It's not maybe the most functional relationship in the world, but...
But they came back around, and, you know, the woman that... He married the woman that she thought was taking her dumpling away.
Right.
You know, ended up helping and doing a very good job at making dumplings herself. So,
it all ended well, which...
You know, it seems so lonely for her before she had her little dumpling. And then while she had the dumpling, she was very much alone. And then afterwards, like, just super like
distant
this,
and you know what I mean?
Yeah. So at the very end, it brought everyone together. Like, right. The woman is clearly Canadian because the dad is now, did you see the sweatshirt he had on? Had the Canadian flag.
Did
and
was really?
Watching hockey on TV.
That's what I'm saying. It's very specific. It was a right. very specific portrait, which is why it was charming.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I don't know.
Okay.
There you go.
Ready to talk more about The Incredibles?
Yeah, let's talk about The Incredibles. This is the spoiler section, so if you haven't seen the movie yet, you're welcome to stay and stick around. We're not kicking anybody out tonight. This is for everybody. But we are going to get spoilery right about now. Okay.
Hey, all you cool kids and jazzy cats. Welcome to the adult section of the podcast. please go on.
I want to hear more of... the Jazzy Cast podcast.
Well, you can't, because that's after midnight when all the adults come out to play.
Oh, that was just the trailer for the adult trailer. Jazzy Cast?
Yeah.
The adult sim? All right, fuck it. The Incredibles 2. I was surprised, because Jack and I were talking about this week. He was like, you know, he was talking about what do you think will be in the trailer, and he goes, well, I can't wait to see what they do with the Underminer. And I'm like, oh, but... And I didn't do this, but I thought in my heart, oh, buddy, you're so naive. They're going to come back and it's going to be like a year later and they're going to be in different places in their lives and they're not... But I'll be goddamn, the movie started right at the Underminer attack.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, like, I got this big smile on my face, like, man, Jack is going to fucking be like, I called it. Because... I mean, I guess on one end, that's an obvious place to start, but like you're so unused to movies just doing that. But that's the strength of the digital cast. Like, none of these characters have aged.
Yeah.
Whereas if you did this with like a Marvel movie, you just fucking couldn't do that because everyone would be a decade older.
Yeah. Yeah. And that Elastigirl, oh, she's still thick.
Thick.
She thick.
Ah, yeah, I bet you can stretch her another mile because of how much extra material she's got. Yeah. No, she's just... Elastigirl, in my mind, is, like, distractingly attractive.
Yes.
Like...
I felt the same way.
All I can do is stare at her ridiculous proportions.
I know, but it's so good.
Yeah, like, it's been since, like, fucking Rescue Rangers, since I've been disattracted to an animated character.
At the very end of the movie, there were a bunch of other superheroes that they had brought aboard to welcome them back into the fold. And they threw some other thick ones in there, too.
Yeah. There was a lot of non-conventional types.
What did you think about the new characters they threw in this movie?
There was something for everybody. There was something for everybody.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Opinion.
Like, here's the thing. It's like, I hear my honest opinion, other than the Void, which I thought had a really cool power that they were very excited to use, everybody else feels like those also ran.
Like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Is that the right movie? I'm thinking of the wrong movie.
No, I think you're right. But more like the X-Men, like where, like, once you get past, like, Storm. And Scott Summers, Cyclops, and the beat, like, the powers start getting, like, really shitty.
Right.
Like, my face can turn to sandpaper when it gets above 100 degrees.
Like, I can turn this Lines legal pad into graph paper.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, is
that
it?
I have dragonfly wings. Like, what the fuck are dragonfly wings going to get? I felt like that. A lot of them is just like, oh, you got electrical powers. Oh, you can crush you got magnetic powers.
Yeah.
It's very off-brand.
You know.
And they clearly weren't that interested in them because they were in the movie for like maybe 30 to 60 seconds.
Yeah. I will say that this movie, and I just, before the podcast, I showed you this John Wick trailer from the first movie.
Right.
About this awesome fight scene. This movie, The Incredibles 2, has the best action scene that I've seen in any movie ever.
Yeah, it's right up there with the airport scene from Captain America 3.
Yes.
It's right up there with any of the fights we saw in Infinity War.
Right, in terms of just like stakes. There's some high stakes.
Yeah.
And just like real gravitas between these characters. You can go ahead and say it. Jack and the Raccoon.
Oh, my God. I was wondering where you're going with this, but yes, no, you're not fucking wrong.
Yeah,
that was a delight when Jack Square, like when you saw Jack Jack looking at this old timey movie of the bandits with the masks,
yeah, with the masks,
and then he locks eyes on the raccoon raiding the garbage can, and he squares off with them. It's like, oh my god, this is going to be because it's a baby that can't be hurt, and you know that the raccoon's not going to be hurt either because it's a
right,
Pixar film.
It's a scrappy animal, and yeah, that's a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a proud animal that wasn't going down without a fight. I thought it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
it was so good.
It was so cute.
It was so good.
And he showed up at the very end.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think this is an interesting movie. It was a really interesting character study about a young man named Tony Rosinante or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. And you know, the orbit of people around him and what they're going through, like my so-called teenage life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I learned a lot about Tony that I didn't know before.
he gets good grades, he's well-liked, popular, and he plays sports.
And didn't you feel at some point that he was like the focus of the movie? It opens with him, it closes with him. Like, he was the whole...
Oh, yeah, it's what really bookends the thing and props up the entire plot. Without him, the movie's Garbo.
Greta Garbo.
Okay, speaking of Garbo, did they totally retcon Jack-Jack having powers in this movie? Because I thought the whole family saw him. Maybe they're trying to perpetrate, like, that they didn't see Jack-Jack was too far away.
Yeah.
And Jason, I forget what that character's name, the Syndicate, right? That was his name?
Perhaps.
Syndrome. Okay. In Syndrome's arm, he was way too up high before, so they didn't see him and all of his powers. But, like, I thought last movie he revealed that to the family. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see the first movie.
But they made a big deal out of... Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, shit, we should have watched it, because then I would have had this question answered. But I felt like they made a big deal out of that, and that struck me as strange, but that might be canonical. So I don't want to be...
Canonical.
I didn't want to be too, like, you know, shitty about it.
Whatever. This is the new canon, and I'm all about it. This is super cute. He's got all the powers, and he's figuring stuff out.
Right. I found, like, I really...
And how do you say no to cookies to that kid?
You can't, because he turns into beast mode.
Yeah, there's
And
no...
that's... My God, those are such accurate... Like, as a father or mother, you can totally relate to... unless you have a perfect baby, but, like... Keeping Jack in bed was a real fucking challenge. Sometimes still is. Kids just loves to stay up late ever since he was born. And I, like, that whole, like, every time you turn around, he's out of bed and, like, chilled out, starting up the PlayStation or finding a tablet somewhere. It's like, oh my God, what are you going to do with this kid? I really identified with that.
Yeah.
And then just getting into everything and just being a fucking handful. It's funny to imagine, like, what life was like trying to keep a kid corralled and killing themselves and now thinking of one that can phase through walls.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Screw the Minions. I need a Jack-Jack and Edna spinoff series.
Man, so that's the other thing, is this movie relentlessly gave you what you wanted. Like, when
this movie theater.
Yeah, I got to say that, like, everything we say is probably 10% more positive than it should be, because this crowd was being slayed every second.
Every joke nailed it.
Every joke brought down the house. It was the happiest, most easy.
Like, mostly I could register adult men laughing and howling and crying with laughter. It was incredible.
The movie's good.
Incredible.
The movie is good, but I did enjoy their over-the-top reactions to it. So they set up Edna, you know, Bob's going to take Jack-Jack over to Edna and as desperation babysitter. And you know Edna's not going to want to have a bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, oh, fuck this shit. And she does, but then she's so intrigued by Jack-Jack's powers that she just, like, as a science experiment, takes him
just
on.
Like, get out, yeah.
Which, that was a delight.
Yeah.
And then
the two of them interacting together in that hallway.
When he picks him up the next day and she's like molding him into a little clone.
Sass machine.
Yeah, yeah, and he's holding his sucker like she holds this. It's that's, again, those are two things I didn't even know I wanted, and they gave it to me.
Yeah, even like the detail of, like, she's got these really pronounced teeth and he's got the sucker in his mouth. So it mirrors, like, the pronunciation of her teeth when they smile at each other. It was a very, very well done movie.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah. So what did you think about the fact that it's exactly the plot of the first movie? They're recruited, except for they flipped it to Mrs. Incredible, or I'm sorry, Elastigirl. Elastawoman.
Mm-hmm. Still Elastigirl. She gets what she goes by.
My or Mrs. Parr, are you trying to seduce me? It's the exact same plot. Like, they're recruited by a person who wants to see supers return to their glory and who's nostalgic about them and says, like, you know, blows a bunch of sunshine up their ass, and it turns out they're the bad guy that's manufacturing these disasters to suit their own end. It's exactly the same movie. I didn't care, but that's the thing that that's one of the reasons I said I'm kind of whelmed.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Like I said, I haven't seen the first movie, so I have no surprise or disappointment by the fact that that happened. But
this is where Mind Dragon would have been invaluable.
I got to skip that bullshit, and I got to see a couple of strong female leads, villain and hero. And costume designer.
Yeah.
And really cool lady co-star.
And Void.
And the Void. That's the cool lady co-star.
And Violet.
Well.
She's a teenage girl.
She can turn invisible, so that's cool.
And she's got those force shields. Like, I thought she was arguably one of the most powerful members of the team.
Yeah.
Because she could attack. she can turn.
Okay. He's going for it.
Invisiblack.
No.
But most importantly, she protect.
That was the first one again.
Did she attack? I don't know. I get what you're saying. You don't care. You're completely immune to the plot, to the criticism of the same plot, because it's the first time for you.
It's the first movie for me.
Right, right. What do you think about the design? Like, the kind of, like, it's somewhere in the 70s, maybe, but with, like, modern touches, too?
Oh, we're talking about time period?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Meet the Robinsons?
Yes.
It's set in that time period.
Mm.
You know, it's retro futurism.
Right. It's like,
it could be any time, because at any time they're just all just emulating what they think the future
right.
is.
Right. It's like, you know, steampunk
is
like
a future world.
Victorian or Western, but with goggles and blimps and steam fittings.
Steampunk, yeah.
Yeah, steampunk. Like, there's like, this is steampunk for the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, it's the 70s style, but with all the modern technology and aircraft and weaponry.
Right. But there's a lot of modern tech, so.
Yeah, like, the world's fastest or largest hydrofoil, I thought was a fucking cool idea. Like, it, you know, the deck starts below water, and as it picks up speed, it comes out of water. I thought that was a super cool idea.
Yeah, and the flora that could consume your couch. That was really fun. That's
fucking hilarious. I love the Elastigirl's Elasticycle and the Incredibule. Yeah. That was, those were all very cool / funny touches. And then they got the family Incredibule at the end.
Yeah.
Should have been a minivan.
No.
I would have lost my shit if it was a minivan that transformed into, like, a souped-up car.
No. Because I think that would have taken them back, you know? Like, they began
wagon.
The movie with trying too hard to protect each other.
Mm.
Either you all get to fight crime together, or you don't. You work together, or you don't. Trying to force them into a minivan when they're obviously a cool, hip, super family.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. All right, you got any more thoughts on this movie?
Yeah, I do. So in the first one, which you haven't seen, the Mr. Incredible, you know, his arc there is he is having a midlife crisis, number one, because he's been stripped of the thing he can do that gives him meaning, and he's, you know, gained weight, and he's having to work for the shitty insurance company when he's, like, you know, a demigod, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea that even as man as strong and as invulnerable as him could lose his family, either by the way he behaves or through physical danger. And, like, you know, no one's that strong, and that you have to kind of rely on, you know, you can't be that fucking vigilant. And I thought those were great messages that spoke to me. I don't identify with Mr. Incredible's I'm threatened because my wife might be more successful than me. Like, if you were more successful than me and made more money than me, I would be the coolest fucking thing ever. I would love that.
I don't think you're the target audience, then.
Hmm. How many guys under fifty would be uncomfortable with that idea?
I don't know.
I don't because like I just feel like that's becoming much less zero. A thing.
I don't know.
I know lots of guys who are stay home dads now.
Yeah, but it's still a growing trend, not the majority.
I guess that's true. I guess, but it's like, you know, whenever I see like trends like that in traditionally conservative areas of the country, because we do live in traditionally and have lived in traditionally conservative areas of the country, it's like I feel like it's heading in the right direction, like more than maybe we're giving it credit for.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe this is like Brad's bird coming to grips with some of this stuff himself.
Brad's bird. No, is that Brad's bird?
That's his next movie. Brad's bird. But I feel like maybe it's him coming to grips with all that.
Maybe.
Except for, I don't know, he's a super, like...
Maybe he made it for his father.
Mm.
Maybe he made it for grandpas to take their grandsons or...
Grandladies.
to take the, their the grandchildren.
Yeah. See, Grandma, you could have had a career just like Grandpa if you weren't wasting time raising us eight kids.
Far too late for your generation.
What else do you want to talk about with this particular movie?
Nothing.
You're done? You're hitting the escape button? You're hitting the eject button?
Yep, hitting the ejector seats in my cool-ass car.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say, got one other thing.
Okay.
What do you think about the plot where the kids had to take it upon themselves to save the parents? Absolutely. That was like a little bit of the plot in the first one, too. But like, I thought it was much more just Vi and Dash and Jack having to rescue their parents from their parents, even.
It's a little sad. It's funny and sad, right?
Yeah.
These kids should not have the responsibility of having to take care of their children because their parents, because they are making unhealthy decisions based on their own selfishness and narcissism, maybe, dare I say.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's happened two movies in a row. Like, it's all fun and games right now when you're riding in a cute car, but just wait until you get the therapy bills later.
Well,
like,
these kids
are going to be fucked up.
Right. These kids are so close to being in deadly situations, which, yeah, it's funny for it.
And unless there's a superhero out there that's just like, well, there's Dicker. There's always Dicker, and he can just erase all those memories.
Erase people's memories. Yeah, that's great. That's kind of kooky, too.
Jonathan Banks.
It's not Jonathan Banks.
It was.
You looked it up?
I looked it up.
Holy shit. Wow. All right.
Is he a character in the first movie?
He is, but I don't know if it's got to still be played by Jonathan Banks. Why would they recast it?
What did you need to say about the kids and their parents?
Just that, like, I always think it's, I mean, that's required for an adventure film, that that everyone's got to be in danger, no one's going to be off limits and all that stuff, but it's always kind of wild that, you know, in the first movie, I guess you could argue that parents couldn't help it because they didn't know that they were going to get embroiled, but in this movie, there's a lot of just like, yeah, let's just, as a family, fight crime with bullets whizzing through the air and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're mostly...
It's kind of ludicrous when you think about it. I also, final thought, I like the homage to Johnny Quest. That Johnny Quest running in the background.
Not an homage, they just actually played an episode of Johnny
Quest. Yes, yes. Yeah. Like, it's like an animated film inside the universe of the animated film. Pretty sweet. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was cute.
All right.
Good movie. Highly recommend. Happy Father's Day, Bald Movers.
That's the review for The Incredibles. And that's your first run bald movie review. I hope everyone enjoyed it. We'll see you on the next one. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
Bye.